likely you're going to light the first candle. I'm actually going to do the reading so we can hear it from all the mics, and they're going to light. And if y'all, let's see, you have the, yeah, just hang on to it. I'll bring the fire to you. I'll bring the fire to you. Let me do the reading. If ever there was a year we needed Advent, this is the year. We hardly know how to describe the year we've lived through so far. We hesitate to reflect on all the mess around us in 2020. All we know is that nothing seems right. Nothing seems like it used to be. Nothing. We need Advent. The prophet Isaiah cried out for us, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down to make your name known, so that nations might tremble at your presence. So tear through the mess, O Lord, and come down to us again. We long to be your people, a people of hope." And we light this first Advent candle as a sign of our hope. Hope that you can meet us, even in the mess of our world. Hope that you still see us, though we feel we are lost in the rubble. Let this light be the guide that brings us to Emmanuel once more. O come, Emmanuel. We definitely need Advent. We need to celebrate. We need to celebrate now more than ever. We still have a whole lot to celebrate. And my scripture this morning is going to come from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, which I'll read here in just a second. The title of the sermon is The Promise of Peace. The Promise of Peace. And this morning, as we go through this lesson, I want us to think about three questions. I want us to think about three questions. What is peace? Where does true peace come from? And are you at peace? And when I say reflect on these questions, I really mean I want us to ponder them. I want us to leave here today with some answers, some questions answered, but I still want us to leave with some questions being pondered. I want you to think about these words. I want you to think about them and apply them and figure them out in your life for yourself. That's part of learning. It's part of growing, is to ponder, to think about. Again, there's been times in my life that I really haven't had a whole lot of peace. I can think back in my life, there's been times there's been turmoil. There's been times in my life that I didn't know if I was coming or going. The Lord's always blessed me with more than enough, but sometimes I let other things creep in. I let things creep in between me and my relationship with Christ, which is where our peace does come from. That happens. Matter of fact, I stay busy. I don't know if y'all noticed that about me, but I stay pretty busy. Part of it's intentional, because the busier I am, the less chance I've got to get in trouble. I still get in trouble some, but the less chance. If I stay busy doing good things, then hopefully I'm not getting as much trouble as I would be. But the other thing is, I told you last week, I'm a fixer. I like to help. I like to fix things. And I get frustrated when I can't. So when I'm busy and I got so many things going on, get pulled in a few different directions, sometimes it's hard to find that peace. There's been a few times in my life that I've experienced perfect peace. Just a few. Up here doing this, being your pastor, I have peace doing this. But there's times, it's not always easy. It's not always easy because I can't fix everything. I try to lay everything at the altar. I try to lay everything for Christ to fix for me. But sometimes I try to get in His way. I don't try to. I do. But when you get that busy, and I get that busy, if I'm somewhere, I feel like I should be somewhere else. If I'm here doing it, I should be somewhere else. Now, here behind this pulpit, I'm at peace. I know where I'm supposed to be. But if I'm in other places in my life, sometimes I feel like I'm torn in a few directions. If I'm here, I need to be there. If I'm there, I need to be here. You ever felt like that? Man, that's not a good feeling. You see, the peace I'm going to talk about today comes from nothing that we can do on our own. The peace I want to share with you today only comes from God. And He can give you that peace in times of trouble. This year has been tough. I'll tell you, it's been a tough year to be anything. I was going to say to be a teacher and a pastor, and it's been a tough year to be, I don't care what you do for a living, it's been a tough year. It's been a tough year to be a dad, a mom, whatever you do. It's been different this year, and we've had to adjust. But I'm telling you, that peace that was available in 2019 is still available today. It's still available today. And that peace comes in great times, and it comes in sorrowful times. When I think back at the times in my personal life when I've been at perfect peace, it's been two opposite occasions. And when I say perfect peace, I was at the place where I knew I was supposed to be with no other distractions entering my mind. Two times in my life, for sure, except for being behind this pulpit, I've experienced that. And one of them was the birth of my daughter. The birth of my daughter, I had no other thought in my head. I'm actually old-fashioned. I was not going to go into the delivery room. And Rhonda suggested that I should. And I took that suggestion, and I went. And that I thank her every day for encouraging me to do that, because it has to be one of the most peaceful times I've ever felt. The first time you hear that cry, the first time, it's unbelievably peaceful. There was nowhere place in the world I needed to be except for where I was. The other time I experienced that was my dad's death. Two opposite occasions. My dad died at home. I was there. Family was there. There was no other place I was supposed to be. It was a sad occasion. It was terrible. I didn't want to give my dad up. But it was evident he was at the end of his journey here, and he was getting ready to go to heaven. And that peace that I got, I was just so at peace and thankful for the parents that the Lord had blessed me with. And the things that I've learned from my mom and my dad. You see, that's the kind of peace I want to talk about today. It's that peace when you know that you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. There's no greater feeling in the world. There's no greater feeling in the world. I'm going to read the scripture now. And the scripture does, again, come from Isaiah. And it's chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks
be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, just come to you to give you thanks for this wonderful opportunity to praise your name, Lord. Thank you for that wonderful word that we just read, Lord. I just pray that you use that word. You use those words that I just read to help us grow closer to you, Lord. I pray that you use me this morning to proclaim your name, Lord, and to proclaim that perfect peace that's only available through you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to start to preach there. I'm getting ready to get started. All right. I'm getting close. But again, it's that perfect peace is what I want to talk about. That peace where there's nothing else that enters your mind. That peace where you know exactly what you're supposed to. Hopefully you're experiencing that peace today. We still have things going on outside that, you know, that we could be worried about, things that we may be unsure of. But this morning, I want us just to concentrate on peace. Just to think about that peace. And as we go through this Advent season, I want to carry that peace from week to week, from day to day, as we live our lives and we worship the Lord. Again, I want to ask a few questions. The questions are, what is peace? Where does true peace come from? And are you at peace? The first question is, what is peace? What is peace? I actually went to the dictionary first to define peace, and it says, Webster says, that it is freedom from disturbance, tranquility, or the state or period where there is no war. And when Isaiah was writing these words, I think he was talking about both kinds of these definitions. I think he was talking about freedom from disturbance, but I think he was also talking about peace from war. But I also think he was writing about another kind of peace. A peace that can't be defined by a dictionary. You see, I'm going to talk more about this spiritual peace. This peace that can only come through our relationship with Christ. But first, I want to just step back a second and talk about the text and give you a little bit of a historical background about what was going on when Isaiah was writing these words about peace. You see, when he's writing these words and he's prophesying about peace, you see, war was raging all around. There was no peace around him. He couldn't see peace. But he had that spiritual peace. Matter of fact, if we back up to the first chapter in Isaiah, it says, these are the conditions he was living through. It says, your country lies desolate. Your cities are burned with fire, and daughter Zion is left like a booth in a vineyard, like a shelter in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. Everyone loves a bribe and runs after gifts. They do not defend the orphan, and the widow's cause does not come before them. Again, as Isaiah's writing about peace, these are the times he was living in. There was not a whole lot of peace there. There's not a whole lot of peace around him. These were not good times. These were not good times. Have you ever lived through some bad times? Have you ever lived through some bad times? Can you praise him in bad times? Can we feel that peace in bad times? See, these were not good times. So how could Isaiah talk about peace when war was all around him? I'm going to go ahead and answer that. It's because he knew who to trust. He knew where true peace came from. In the midst of war and destruction, Isaiah could visualize perfect peace because he'd seen it. See, God had revealed this picture of perfect peace to him. It was real. He could see peace because he put his faith in God, not in weapons and in war. See, that's how he could talk about turning swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. In the reality of war, He saw the promise of peace. In the reality of war, he saw weapons being used for agriculture. That's right, he saw devices that were designed to kill, transformed into devices used for producing life. That's the picture he saw. Again, he saw a picture of devices that were used to kill, being transformed into devices used to bring life. You see, that kind of reminds me of how God used a torture device to give eternal life. If you look 700 years past where Isaiah is writing this, God used the cross, a torture device, to bring forth life, an eternal life. You see, God's been in the transforming business for a long time, and he still is today. He still is today. Second question I want to ask this morning is, where does true peace come from? I've told you a couple times in this, man, and before today's over, I pray that you know where true peace comes from. You see, we're often too busy to experience this true peace. I know I am. Often I'm too busy to experience this true peace. This Advent season, I pray that we all slow down and just enjoy the season. See, this time of year, from now to Christmas, we probably spend way too much time shopping. I know I do. Again, I encourage you to experience this true peace. The only way we can have that true peace is to slow down and listen to God. See, where does this true peace come from? You see, Jesus assures us in John 14:27 that peace comes from him. When he tells us this, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." You see, the peace that I'm talking about is found in Christ and Christ alone. We can't find that peace that we're looking for by doing the things that keep us busy. The only way we find that true peace is through a relationship with him and sharing our relationship, sharing the word, the gospel, with other people. That's the way we find true peace. Telling other people where this true peace comes from. You see, I don't know about you, but I gain peace from these words from Jesus. I gain peace by hearing the words that, hey, the peace is there. The peace is there. I just need to get the junk out of my way that's between me and the peace. Peace is always there. No matter what's going on around us, just like Isaiah when he was writing these words, no matter what's going on around us, that eternal peace that comes through Christ is always there. You see, that's where true peace comes from. The third question I'm going to spend a little time on is, are you at peace? And when I ask this question, I'm asking it to myself as well. Am I at peace? Again, I've had times in my life where I've experienced true peace. I've had times in my life where I've been searching for true peace. You see, to gain true peace, first we have to have a relationship with Christ. So we have to have peace that we're not good enough on our own. It's accepting that we're not good enough on our own. The only way that we have that peace with God is by what Christ did for us on the cross. And we've got to be obedient to his call. In other words, we've got to live out our Christian. We've got to live out our Christian life. We've got to tell other people about him. We've got to be obedient to that call. And again, peace with ourselves. Sometimes this is the toughest one. Peace with ourselves. You see, because I'll quote this scripture again. It's John 10:10. You see, it says, "The thief only comes to steal, kill, destroy. But I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly." You see, when we doubt ourselves, When we're trying to work for the Lord and we got our own ability, that's the devil telling us we ain't good enough. That's the devil telling us we're not good enough. That's why we can't have peace with ourselves. Because Satan is a real force. But the second part of that verse tells us that Jesus came to give us life and give more abundantly. In other words, the peace with ourselves comes through the abundant life that Jesus has promised us. Except that abundant life, applying that abundant life to our lives is how we have peace with ourselves. It's nothing else that we can do. Nothing else we can do except for our relationship with God. And the other aspect of having peace is having peace with others. Having peace with others. I don't know if y'all noticed, but there's divisions among us. It don't matter where you look. There's divisions politically. There's divisions in the church. There's divisions everywhere we look. If you watch the news, don't care which news station, I don't care. If you watch the news, you'll see these divisions. You'll see that our nation is in turmoil. But I'm telling you today that peace can still be experienced. No matter what's going on around us, peace can still be experienced if we have that relationship with Jesus. Again, but we have to live with peace with others. You see, we can disagree without showing contempt. As a matter of fact, we can disagree and still love each other. It's a pretty neat concept. I'm not always right. I'm not always right. We can disagree and still love each other. We can disagree and still be brothers and sisters in Christ. We can disagree and still be citizens of the United States. I don't know if y'all have ever noticed, but usually when we're not at peace with others, there's something that usually comes from that. And it's usually an argument. You ever been in an argument? I have. No, I haven't. I've never won one. I'm pretty good at arguing, but I've never won one. I have never in my life, and I'm, who's heard me arguing? Anybody ever heard me? I'm pretty good at it. I can argue. I can express my points. I can make sense. But I've never, no matter how right I am, I've never had somebody say, you know what? You're exactly right. I've been thinking the wrong way my whole life. I've never had it happen. And I'm good at arguing. I can tell people what I think. I can tell people what I know. But nobody's ever said, well, how come that? You know, nobody's ever said that. Oh, you've changed my thought. No, you change people by loving them. You change people the way Christ has transformed us. Thank God that's the way Christ has created peace through us. It's through transformation. It's through love, not a hammer. You can adjust things with both. I've done both. But I can tell you which one's more effective when you're wanting to build relationships. When you're wanting to have peace. Love works a lot better than a hammer. Again, I've never won an argument. Almost quit trying. Almost. That's in the last year or so, I actually got some good advice. I've been sharing it with some younger couples that, you know, when you're in an argument, usually it's with somebody you love. And you should do one of two things. If you're wrong, you need to own up to it. You say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. So if you're wrong, you got to own up. And if you're right, you know what you got to do? Shut up. There's going to be disagreements. When you're wrong, own up to it. When you're right, shut up. Don't rub it in. I told you that was right. Because then if you do that, you're not winning the argument. You're showing your weakness. You're not delivering that peace that comes through Christ. You see, Paul gives us some specific instructions in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. He says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Again, talks about peace, love, and forgiveness there. Talked a few weeks ago about forgiveness, and one thing forgiveness don't have is a but. Sometimes it's hard to forgive. And when you finally forgive somebody, you don't look at them and say, I forgive you, but you were wrong. I forgive you, but you did this to me. No, forgiveness just is forgiveness. It's forgiveness the way Christ forgave us. The way Christ forgave us. He does not bring up the past. That's the way to live in peace. That's the way we need to forgive each other. You see, peace comes from living in the reality that we are all children of God. There's no such thing as them and us. There's only we. When we allow these truths to affect our words and our deeds, then we can live in peace. Are you at peace? Again, I can't answer all these questions for you. It's something we've got to live. It's something we've got to apply to our lives and live through. If you're not experiencing that peace in your life, remember, God is still in the transformation business. You see, he's been doing it a long time. He's good at it. If he can give Isaiah prophecy of transforming weapons into tools to produce life, and he can take a cross that was meant to kill people and use it for the promise of eternal life, imagine how he can transform your life. Imagine how he can see you and how he can see you being used. Are you at peace? If you're not at peace this morning, I pray that you use this time for prayer. You use this time to start looking for peace. When we see destruction, let's look for ways to make peace. When we see despair, let's look for ways to make peace. Let's look for ways to heal. Let's look for ways to bring peace, not war. Are you at peace? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, just thank you so much for your word this morning. Lord, thank you for that peace that only comes through a relationship with you. Lord, thank you for being able to see us the way we can't see ourselves. Lord, being able to see us as your children. Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone here this morning that's not at peace, that they find that peace this morning. Lord, again, thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for being in the transforming business. Thank you for transforming me. Thanks for that transformation. That again, you can take something designed to kill and transform it into something designed to feed people. Lord, I pray all this in your holy name.